Hey guys, welcome to the Vanatic Podcast, brought to you by Casper Outdoors. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome to the Vanatic Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Ratliff, and this week will be episode number one. And episode number one today, we have a very special guest. A lot of you guys will know Kat and have been following, anybody who's been following Horizon for a long time will realize how sad we were when she left. But this week, as guest number one on the Vanatic Podcast, Catherine Rice. How are you doing, Kat?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. So a couple things, and again, this is a new podcast for us, and on the back end, Kat has been really helping us put this program together, and this what we're calling our Vanatic campaign, and this podcast that goes with that. And we've got some new and exciting stuff, what that's going to look like for really for the next quarter. So with that, I want to pitch it off to you, Kat, in the sense that tell me what a Vanatic is.
Okay. First of all, the first time I heard this word, I thought you made it up. So there's that until I Googled it. So the definition of it, you know, in the dictionary is of or about hunting. So to me, and it's an adjective. So it's like a way to describe somebody who just lives and breathes this lifestyle of hunting.
And it sounds really, really neat. And it would be neat on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. I mean, it sounds cool. It's like, man, that's Vanatic. That's not the right usage.
Well, and what's neat about that is we started, if anybody who's been following Horizon here recently, you know the Horizon for the Truly Custom Rifle campaign. We did that mm-hmm. for a really long time. And now we've got kind of our core rifle series, which you helped a lot in the branding piece of that. And now we really call them our Vanatic series rifles. Right. So, you know, custom at the core, all good parts, but pertaining to hunting. And so a couple things before we really get into the Vanatic piece, I want to talk a little bit about where Kat went and what you've been doing. And then we'll roll that back into understanding what that means for where we go forth.
Are you trying to make me feel bad? Or
yeah, no, absolutely. So, Kat, where have you been the last couple of years?
Well, when I left Horizon, it was to start my own freelance marketing agency. So I started Wildcat Marketing, awesome. Which is 100% a hat tip to the firearms industry.
Awesome.
Yeah. So the whole concept of, I actually really struggled for quite a while with my name of my company. Do I do some kind of play on where I live or my name or anything like that? And nothing felt right until I decided, I came up with Wildcat one day, where it's like, okay, a Wildcat cartridge, right, is taking factory ammo that has a specific set of specs and tweaking those to enhance performance in a certain way. So that translates in marketing for me to, I'm going to take like industry standard and accepted marketing practices for a company, and I'm going to ask like the whys and the what ifs and try and build a plan that really enhances their performance. So that's
awesome. And that's the first time I've heard you describe it that way. That's a really good sales pitch.
Yeah. So as soon as I landed on that, I was like, that's it. I'm done. I got it. Cool. And what's really funny is, you know, I only work with a couple companies that are actually in the firearms industry right now. A lot of my client base has been, I mean, totally random, from like natural deodorants to growlers, like beer growlers and whatnot. And then I work with a couple local companies as well, a mechanic in our little town and the feed store, actually.
Hey, there you go.
So, yeah, it's super fun.
I've said for years, when or if I ever retire, like my perfect gig is I want a little country feed store, and I love the smell of a feed store. And
I know. Anytime they're like, oh, we got a new display. I'm like, I'll be right down to take photos.
Exactly.
But what's really funny though, is like when I first started, so I've been doing this just over 2.5 years now.
Golly, I can't believe it's been that long. Jeez.
I know it has been. It's wild. Actually right before COVID hit, which was unfortunate and terrifying, but also like the biggest blessing for our family.
That's a good point. Well, and you guys, you're in Oregon.
Yep.
And so, you know, your experience was, I mean, completely different than probably our experience in Texas.
lasted just a little bit longer than it did in Texas. Yeah, but I essentially, you know, I worked from home for 4 years working for Horizon, right? So like none of that was new to me. And that was pretty seamless. But what I didn't really anticipate was working from home with my three kids and my husband also. And so that was a big shift. And then shortly after, Andy went back to work as a teacher. And our internet was just so horrible that like it couldn't support all of us home. But I had to shift and really flex my time and essentially like homeschool with my children, which I was not wired to do, like,
so
whatsoever.
you're homeschooling and working from home. That is amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to like build this business, and but it also afforded me like this great flexibility with the kids. And if things weren't going well or they needed help, I could just like shut my laptop and walk away. And I can't say that that would have been as flexible, like had I still, you know, worked for Casper and like we're running as normal. Right. So, I had a very 2 week period where I was like, I've doomed my family to financial ruin. This was a mistake. Maybe Derek would give me my job back.
Hey, I didn't, should have jumped on that.
But it ended up, it's been a huge blessing and it's really, really worked out. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, and like, I mean, and any entrepreneur finds out, it's like, it's that grit, you know. We've said for years, it's been kind of our mantra, is, you know, face it till you make it. And so I think that's really awesome. So projects, like things that you do or don't do in your marketing firm, what is kind of your sweet spot?
I'd be lying if I said I had that figured out. I think you know me well enough to know that like I'm kind of a little bit of a utility player, and if I see a need, I'm going to try and jump in because I think it can help. And so over the course of the last 2+ years, that's what I've been doing is like, you know, I just signed on with a new client this week that needs help optimizing certain pages on their website. And like, that's literally it.
Yep.
Am I a web designer? No. But I know more than them, and they already have the website built, like, and I know what they need done, right?
For us, I mean, you're doing project management, we're doing website development stuff, and then, you know, basically helping us build this entire campaign piece in the space.
Yeah, so it really just varies. Like, I work with a client that really I just do, like, SHOT Show planning for. Mm. And then there's another client that I work with that I kind of just, I build them a marketing plan every year. And then they're like, okay, great, now go execute it for me. Like, and so it really just varies by client and size. But
so as we speak, you know, we're talking about Vanatic, all, you know, these all things pertaining to hunting. You know, you in the space, I mean, you know, how did you get into, and like I said, I know some of the story and I think people will find it fascinating, but like, how did you get into marketing within the hunting space?
Well, so I grew up hunting with my dad in the Willamette Valley of Oregon, and like just kind of grew up outside in general. He's a forester. And so like, basically grew up in the woods. Hunting and camping and fishing and just wood cutting. I mean, anything and anything that pertains to kind of being outside. We grew up in the city though. But I was a volunteer youth pastor at my church with a lady, that worked at Botec. Yeah.
Oh. Who's that?
And Margaret Knupp.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we went to church together. She got the job at Botec. And they were going to hire, and I had just graduated from college. They were going to hire a trade show planner or something like an event planner, I think is what it was. And I put in my application for it and I interviewed, and it ended up between me and then the person that ultimately got it. And the reason that person got it is because they used to be a travel agent and there was going to be a lot of like travel planning around it. And so I was bummed, kept working at my job, just out of college. And then about a year later, Margaret let me know that they were going to be hiring for a marketing assistant.
Oh, cool.
And at that time, my sister, who I like basically idolized, she had a job working for Danner Boots right out of college. And I just thought she had like the coolest job ever because she got to go on hunts and she got to coordinate
about what year?
She was working there in the early 2000s. So the year that I got the job at Bowtech, so I put in for the marketing assistant position and I got it.
Nice.
And that was in 06. And I started in September, and I remember being so overwhelmed because I didn't have bow hunting experience, and we were just about to launch the Guardian, the center pivot, like the very first center pivot bow, and I was so confused about like what the big deal was gonna be. So yeah, I joined the end of September, and we launched the 07 lineup like 2 weeks later or something like that.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, and I've been in it ever since, and it was like it just felt like home.
That's cool.
And I guess I did leave it for like a short, maybe 2 year stint. And I worked in high tech for a while, and that was, I learned a ton, but it was really terrible. I didn't like it at all.
Well, and this space is so interesting. It's like, you always laugh. It's like you run into the same 30 people for years and years and years, you know? And so it's just it's a different space. And, you know, I've really kind of had a heart to wanting to talk with college kids and you know, speak at some of these engagements. And it's like, you know, one question that we always get is like, what would you tell, and this is kind of to you, is like, what would you tell somebody today that's trying to get in the space? Because it's significantly different than what I remember in terms of, you know, the media piece of it. You know, before it's like, oh, cool. You know, there wasn't that many TV shows. If you had a halfway decent camera and a decent personality, you know, you know, and it was all about sponsoring the right content. And now it seems completely different.
It really does. I got to be honest. I don't know what my advice would be for breaking into the industry now. Because I've had to learn all of that stuff along the way, right? Like, so when I went to college, there was no, like, I signed up for Facebook when Facebook was only allowed for college students. And it was my senior year. It was like 2 months before I graduated. And you know, fast forward to what it is now. Like, and before I left Bowtech, we created a Facebook profile for Bowtech, like as a person. They didn't have business pages yet.
Yeah.
And so like, we've had to just grow through it. Like, they didn't have social media classes when I was in college. Like, I assume they do now.
You know?
Yeah, it's totally different landscape, but I still think a lot of it has to do with like, who you know and the connections you have. And honestly, I think the people that are the most successful have that like fanatic mentality. Like, I don't get out and hunt nearly as much as I ever want to, but I still have that like passion and love for it deep down. It's just a part of who I am, you know?
Well, and you're talking about the fanatic mentality. What's interesting about that is that like it manifests so differently, right? You know, you look at companies
really
like,
does.
You know, Onyx, right? I mean, you think, oh, cool, they make a mapping software. No, they've got like 300, you know, employees that are really, you know, doing mapping software, but in a completely different kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, and when you, we'll have some of those guys on later, later down in the podcast, but it's like, they just are super, super passionate about public land hunting. You know, which is so foreign to us guys, like in Texas, it's, we don't, that's not a thing, right?
And so, right. Well, do you remember when I hunted in Texas with you?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I've never heard the word corn used as a verb. This is fascinating, right?
Well, and same thing for me is like when we moved up to Oregon to work for Bowtech, it's like, you know, people would come in like, oh, you know, we shot this elk at 60 yards or 70 yards or whatever. And I'm like, what are people doing? You know, because for us,
that's
it
so
was
far,
yeah,
right?
It was like ground blinds, and it was, you know, 20, 30 yards. And so it's just a completely different thing, which I think what makes this space so fun. It's a really diverse.
Yeah. And I will say that was a huge learning curve for me coming at it when I joined Bowtech, because I grew up rifle hunting deer.
Yeah.
Black-tailed deer, and that was it. That's all I'd ever hunted,
which is ridiculous, by
and
the
it's
way.
Spot and stock, it's not easy, and that's why I didn't kill anything until I was like 23.
Yeah,
so.
I still want a black-tailed deer. That's some of the, like,
yeah.
I've been a lot of places, and still to this day, it's like Oregon is just incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah, but like learning the different hunting styles, like tree stand hunting to me, or like sitting in a ground blind, just and I'll fully admit it was like me being pretty close-minded to it until I really understood what fanatic meant, like, really, you know, if you think about it that way, like, why would anybody just want to sit in a ground blind and just wait for a deer to walk in front? Like, I'm sorry, but I still get buck fever even when that's happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So. Well, you know, and it's interesting. When we started thinking about, like, Venatic, I don't know if I even told you this story. It's like, where did we come up with that word? So David Stroud, which people have heard, he's been on some podcasts with us. We've got some videos.
Customer number one.
His screen name for years has been Venatic. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of crazy. And so he was at the shop one day. I'm like, David, what is this whole Venatic thing? Like, what is that? You know? And he said, man, I'm going to tell you this crazy story. And again, I talked to him earlier today. I'm like, David, we're going to get you on a podcast. And never met a guy that knows so much about reloading. Guys, just... Mm-hmm. A walking encyclopedia on that stuff. But he said, yeah, my mother-in-law, who was like, I don't know, 85, 90 or something at the time, you know, I can't remember the exact age, but he said she was doing a crossword puzzle and she had filled out this crossword puzzle with Venatic. And he said, David, you're just Venatic, and wouldn't tell him what it meant. And so he drove home from Mississippi and looked it up and figured out, you know, oh, it's all things that pertaining to hunting. And he's like, yep, that's pretty much it. Nailed it. And so, you know, for us really going into the kind of, I don't call it dealer model, but more like production type rifles, you know, we wanted, you know, first production rifles. I thought that was just really fitting, you know, first customer and kind of the Venatic piece there. So tell me, you know, let's talk a little bit, pivot here, and then I'm going to come back and got a couple other questions for you. But tell me a little bit, you know, when we do this Venatic campaign, so obviously we've got the new podcast, and for the guys who haven't been following Horizon, you know, Horizon is now really part of a bigger umbrella, which we call Casper Outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, it's more or less when you've got Horizon, IOTA, Texas Ammo, Stiller, and KWW all sort of under this big umbrella. But when we look at this Venatic campaign, I'm going to lead you into what is the big reason why people want to follow this, and what does I Am Venatic look like for the next quarter?
Well, it's a build up to, one, we want to follow people's journeys and explore what being Venatic means to people, right? Like, so it's something different for me than it is for you, than it is for David Stroud or anybody else. And like, I just kind of alluded to when I first started working at Bowtech all those years ago, like I had no idea really what it meant, you know, but you meet all these people at trade shows, in the industry or just like at consumer shows, and they are all Venatic. They're all of and about and anything pertaining to hunting. And so we really want to explore that, and we want people to share it. And so, it really builds up to this ultimate. We want people to share their stories and their photos on Instagram or on our website, on your website. And ultimately we're going to give away a Venatic rifle at the end of it. And just, it's going to build up to a big giveaway,
which means really the first time, I mean, we look at in all the time, we've never done a rifle giveaway,
done a full rifle giveaway.
So it's kind of a neat thing. And a couple of things I wanted to hit on that you mentioned, this is not just for like Horizon customers, right?
No.
And so kind of we wanted to make it known that it's like, it's more about being Venatic. And so we want to see, you know, the pictures with you and your kids in the field, and whether it's archery or rifle or whatever. And you'll see, we're also sending out some cool dealer packets to our new rifle dealers. We'll have some Venatic swag around that.
That's been fun to work on.
I'm looking forward to how we got the new shirt design kind of leaning.
So, yeah, me too.
So in terms of just entering, how do I enter?
Well, there's two ways to enter. One, and the most probably ideal way for us, is you post it on social media, on Instagram specifically, and you tag Horizon Firearms in the photo, and then you use the hashtag in the description, hashtag I Am Venatic, and then also Horizon Firearms.
Cool.
Or you can go to the website, horizonfirearms.com/IAmVenatic, I believe is the URL that we've settled on. There's also going to be a banner across the website homepage that you can easily get to, and you can actually upload your photo there as well.
Oh, cool. That I actually didn't know. That's even more
and cool. Then we will work to, you and I will work together and like share those and post them on social as well.
So how are we going to pick a winner at the end of this deal?
That's a great question. It's not random. I mean, it's not just going to be like a random drawing. Every week we're going to feature an entry, and we're going to send out a like a Fanatic swag pack to whoever we choose to feature on a weekly basis, and just like to try and keep that momentum going.
So what are we looking for? Are we looking for the best picture, the best experience, the best what?
You know, I don't think it's got to be perfection, right? It's not about, we don't want it to just be limited to professional photographers, you
Right.
know? It can't be all about the composition. It's got to really encompass the feeling of Vanatic. And it could be a harvest photo that you share. It could be like maybe your kid glassing a horizon at sunrise, or you know what I mean? Like it can just run the gamut. I know there's going to be a panel of judges from Casper Outdoors that kind of helps select the ultimate winner that really kind of encompasses what it means to be Vanatic.
Now, you mentioned something, and I think that's awesome. That's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it to see kind of, and that's for me is really the kind of passion behind it all. It's like I was telling you before, we just got back from J Sporting Goods out of Michigan. So we got two stores, one in Gaylord, one in Clare. Huge stores, like 100,000 square foot. I mean, and what's interesting, they have a very neat way that they do customer service there. It's not all spiff based, da da da. It's like Vanatic people that work there, and it's neat to kind of get that. But we're gonna have some of those top people on there, and I don't know, it's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it. We're just talking about the passion behind, like, really, and really, like, our custom rifles have always been that, but like the core rifles themselves, and just, I don't know, like, we always like the story. I think you and I've talked a lot, heard the phrase narrative identity, and I think that is like stuck with me so much, as far as just people want to be part of something that has a story. And so I think Vanatic is kind of a fun way to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
So you mentioned one thing, though. I did want to talk about
Okay.
harvest photos. What's your favorite harvest photo?
Like personally?
Yes, and I'm asking that kind of facetiously too, because I know we've talked a lot about, hey, when you take a harvest photo.
Do's and don'ts of harvest photos.
Yeah, exactly.
Like don't ride your animal and
Right.
take a photo. Yeah. You know what's really funny? I've never experienced taking a harvest photo quite like I did when I hunted with you in Texas. And it is by far like the best harvest photo I have. Also, it was like a giant set of
Oh my
antlers.
gosh, I came across those 2 nights ago. I was cleaning out Google Drive because, we're doing all the big switchovers and stuff, and I came across some of the like funny ones, and I'm gonna have to send this to
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot
you.
about the funny ones.
You're like mean mugging, like a real
We should
serious.
totally post some of those as part of the Vanatic, like maybe
Yes.
as a don't,
Yes. I
some of
was
my
I'm gonna
terrible
send
photos.
you I'm gonna send you one particular.
Oh my gosh. But like some of my favorites, which but are like equally as horrible. So my dad, when we hunt, I like here, I've only ever hunted with my dad. I've only ever killed anything with my dad, and he is like all business when it like when you actually take the shot and you know you've made like contact and you've killed the animal, he's like ready to get to work. Oh, that was probably really loud. I
Yeah.
just snapped
I
right
did
in
it
the ear.
earlier, so it's all right.
But like he almost like I don't have time for photos. What are we doing? And so I'm like, Dad, let's like I want to like hold the antlers up nice or try and like move the deer and wipe the blood away or whatever. And he takes my phone and he's just like, okay, we got it. Let's go. Let's get to gutting this deer. Let's get it taken care of. Or he would even be the one like we have a picture of my very first deer. My oldest daughter who is now 14 was a baby, like 6 months old maybe.
Nice.
And so we're in the front yard of my dad's house in town, and we have the deer's head, like literally just the head with the antlers, and I'm holding it crouched down next to my baby
It's
in her
perfect.
car seat. Like, what?
So awesome.
Like,
No, but I
and
mean,
yeah, she's just looking at me like her chubby cheeks, like, what are you doing?
it was interesting about that. It's like they make, I mean, I get it, but everybody does it, and like in the moment, it just shows you like the whole Vanatic thing. It shows you like how much hunting is just part of culture, right? It's part of the family. But at the same time, you know, there's definitely ways to take your really good photos. Man, and I'll tell you, when we went with John X in Africa, I have never seen people that do such a good job. And I've learned a lot, you know, of our stuff from there. And now it's like funny, Ryder, like, oh, you know, he'll go down there and sit
we
behind.
We got to do the thing.
You know, okay, we're going to film getting out of a stand or out of this multiple times. So it's kind of fun. But they actually, you know, have a guy that, he will sit behind the animal and hold the head up so that you can get kind of angled right.
I remember you telling me that, where they like scrunch up really small and just like prop it up so they're not in the photo.
Yeah, anybody who's ever seen my eland photo, there's a guy laying in front of me. And you're like, how do you get that eland like that angle? And but it's some of the best, you know, photos that I've got. But so I don't know, I love it. So what other products, like I said, you talk about growlers and deodorant. Tell me about the natural deodorant. Mm-hmm.
Like how does one start working digital marketing for a natural deodorant company? It was through a friend. So Andy's best friend was I guess is part owner of this company, and it was right when COVID hit, so they were actually like my first real client. They were working with a digital marketing firm out of some big city, and they were looking to cut expenses, and I thankfully it was just like way cheaper.
Hey, you gotta start somewhere.
Right. And so I had running their digital marketing emails, Google ads, that kind of stuff. And that was actually, I will say, like an interesting and hard thing for me to make the switch to not having control over all of their marketing. Right. Like when I worked for Verizon, I was like, in all of it, like packaging and all the copywriting and the website copy and the website design and all this stuff. And instead now I'm just like this little piece, this subset of all of marketing. And I have all sorts of opinions, right?
No.
What? But yeah, so that's really how I got into it. I don't actually work with them anymore. But they were, for the longest time, like, they were my Venetic, my, like, customer number one. They were my David Stroud.
But, that's awesome.
I still use their products.
Well, that's what I was about to ask you. It's like, do you use their stuff?
I do. And it really does work. And I remember, so they have, like, 20 different scents. And when I first started, I was, like, tried and true, like, Lady Speed Stick, whatever scent it was.
Yeah.
And that was all I wanted to use. And I was like, coconut mango, who wants to smell like a fruit salad? And they're like, this is our number one seller.
That's amazing. Like,
that's disgusting. That's so tropical. But that just wasn't my style, right? Yeah, yeah. But what I actually ended up finding after working with them for like 2 years is that I started like switching deodorant scents with the season.
Oh,
like in the summer, I'd use grapefruit cardamom. And in the winter, I'd use citrus clove. And like,
all right, so I'm going to ask.
Like, who am I?
Shameless plug here. Who is it?
Smarty Pitts.
Smarty Pits. I'm going to have to check it out because, I mean, you've seen at the big, we work with Schuler and Associates on, you know, for our rep group, but, and they rep Duke Cannon. Oh my goodness, that space is so incredible.
It is, but it's also super saturated anymore. Yeah. Like, it's wild how many natural deodorant companies there are.
Yeah. And those Duke Cannon guys are a beast. I mean, they're some of the best. the Duke Cannon guy is like some of the best sales guys I've ever seen. You know, I ended up coming home from one of the shows. I don't know how many bars of soap, probably 30 bars of soap. And it's ridiculous. And at the same time, we were at a show, I guess, August. So it's been 2 years since, I guess, they got me the first stuff. And I was like, you need more of that? And I'm like, no. No, I still probably have
so
15
much. Yeah, actually, you can probably see right here. I still have like, I just had a bunch of them lined up above my desk, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't use those ones, but like my kid, like we all use it, and they even have an unscented version. So I'm actually really interested to use that for hunting season to there like loop it back around to being Venetic.
Very, very true. So in the hunting space, you know, you didn't cue me up for this or whatever, but are you looking for more clients? So is Wildcat taking clients?
I have a really hard time saying no. because like we've talked about like Enneagrams, right? Like I am tried and true in Enneagram too. So I'm like, oh, you need help? Let me help you. You know? So I would say, and I've also gotten pretty good now at kind of subcontracting some stuff. So I reconnected, actually, oddly enough, with the web designer that I worked with back at Bowtech 15 years ago.
Which one? Or can you say?
Matt.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. And he doesn't really do a ton of web design anymore, but he was looking for some side work. And so I've worked with him on a few different projects now. And it's like that, while I can, like, spin up a WordPress website for a client and probably do it just fine. I don't necessarily, that's not my expertise, and it would take me longer to do it myself. And so I work with Matt to do it. And so that frees me up to work on other stuff.
Yeah, the website is so hard. That's to me, it's like, yeah. You know, we went through, when we lost Kat, we went through and all of our social stuff. So we're trying really to get that back to where it needs to be. And you know, I was on Facebook last night trying to look through, and there's some random person who's admin that I've never even met. I'm like, I don't even know how that's possible.
Oh, gosh.
So trying to
get... Well, and social, go ahead. That landscape has even changed so much in the last 2 years since I left. Like, yeah. So I don't know that anybody that would have taken it over, like, who knows if I could have kept it growing, you know what I mean? Like, it's changed so much.
And it did it so fast. And you know, yeah. For me, what I like, you know, like I said, side tangent, and you and I have talked about this, you know, we found out that my oldest boy has been diagnosed with dyslexia. I hate that diagnosis, weird, mm-hmm. but the school has been amazing helping him. And now I'm like looking at myself going, oh, that was me, you know? And so,
yeah.
I absolutely love that things are going to podcasts, are going to video with reels. And so I'm like, man, this falls way more into my sweet spot.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, and I enjoy it. I think it's fun, but you know,
well, you've been a podcast lover for years. I don't know how many times you've either said, I listen to this podcast, or have you heard this podcast? And I'm like, no.
It's fun. I mean, you know, it was
I've gotten into listening to some, so you have like turned me a little bit, but yeah.
Well, it's interesting too, because like we always Cherish, my wife, is really big into podcasts, and mm-hmm. like the podcasts that go to women versus the podcasts that go in the hunting space is crazy, the difference in terms of timing, right? Like she's like, podcast 30 minutes, meh, I'm out, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Where you turn on like a Meat Eater or even like a
and they're like over an hour.
Yeah, you know, and I heard one that they did the other day that I really love. So you know, I guess we can say this kind of stuff on podcasts. You want control, but the Meat Eater did one where they're driving in a van in the middle of Alaska filming.
And okay, I'm
like, that's so fun. You know,
it's that's just, super cool. It really is. So, well, and maybe that's the difference, like being vanatic. You have no problem listening to an hour-long podcast because you're also the kind of person that will watch a hunting TV show, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, coming at it from Cherish's perspective or even mine, like, I don't necessarily always have an hour. I know a lot of people listen to podcasts, like, on a commute. I don't commute. Like,
yeah.
My commute is 50 steps to my office from my living room after I get my kids on the bus every morning, you know? So I don't really have that, like, built-in time to listen to a podcast. So if I do, it's like I'm on a walk outside, and yeah, it needs to be like around 30 minutes, because I'm also the kind of person that, like, once I'm invested and I've started, I don't want to stop it. I'm not going to just like, whoop, my walk's over, time to stop my podcast listening, but there's still a half hour left on it, you know.
I will do that, although
you will.
Yes.
I can't do it.
I will say there have been some, and like, you know, like I said, Meat Eater, obviously amazing, they've done great stuff. Mm-hmm. Love that. You get to meet Steve. He won't remember me. You got to meet him years ago at SHOT Show, and I'm like, oh my gosh, just made it, you know, before that.
Well, do you remember when Jim Shockey used our hand sanitizer? And that was like the best thing ever.
So we just moved, and we just moved into our new facility. This is in our podcast room. It'll change a little bit when we get everything done. So the next mm-hmm. couple podcasts, you'll start seeing more and more actual looking, minus this giant tree behind me.
Yeah.
I 100% still have the Jim Shockey autographed hand sanitizer in my office.
Well, 3 years in a row using our hand sanitizer, it's like, bro, you better sign it this time around.
So I mean, you know, it's kind of fun, you know. But I will admit that, and then I like the rodeo space. Just the marketing and growth that's happening in that space is interesting to me to watch compared to the hunting and, you know, firearm space. And so
yeah.
I will admit that I've listened to Dale Brisby podcast with an earbud in while shooting deer or sighting any guns.
I love it. You know, what's funny is I just got served a Del Brisby reel for the first time today on Instagram. Yeah. But then the other thing I was going to just say is, like, your background is rodeo, though. Like, you grew up roping, didn't you? Or something, like, competing. So,
it doesn't surprise
me at all that you're into it. Yeah.
Well, and I think what's interesting about it to me, when you look at Horizon, you know, at our, we look at our origin video and kind of like the...
God, I love that video so much. That was such a cool project.
I found it again the other day and pinned it to our YouTube because... Our YouTube's been a little laxing, so I got that kind of pinned up in the right spot.
Oh, do we need to do some more questions of the week?
We do.
I don't know if I can handle any more marriage proposals, though. We might need to turn comments off.
I love it. There was actually several that weren't posted, I guess, that I needed to approve or something that I'll have to send you offline. But you didn't, good mention and shameless plug here. If you do have topics or people you want us to interview, you know, we'd love to. You know, send us comments or message us. We actually set up a email address. Get set up today. It is vanatic@casparoutdoors.com, and that's KASPAR, so casparoutdoors.com. And you know, it'd be fun to kind of hear from everybody. And I'll shameless plug at the same time, just so we know people are listening, because this is episode one. If somebody comments, first person to comment that they heard in this podcast that we're giving away a hat. I will send them some Horizon swag. So just comment, hey,
good idea.
Hey, I heard that you were going to give me something, and put that in the comments once we get this posted, and we'll send you a free hat, and love to hear from you guys. One thing I do want to ask, and then like I said, we'll wrap up here after a second, but marketing advice for people that are just getting into it. So I know you got to have something. You started your own business. You know, you work with Horizon when we were Uber Micro. We're still Uber Micro, but trying. You know, I see so many too many people who have you know, shooting bags, or you know, they've got a new gunsling, or they've got a new broadhead, and they've got great stuff. And it's really hard to do as an individual by yourself. You know, I'm thinking about. And they're newish, you know, like we do some recoil gear gun bags. I love them. Company like that, what if you're, you know, entrepreneur, what is your biggest advice in terms of best bang for your buck, media as a startup?
Oh, honestly, trying to crack the social code is probably a good investment. Like if you can get something to go or work with somebody on social who has a little bit of a following that believes in your product, that could be huge. It's make or break anymore. There's not some magical formula for like, you need to run this many TV ads and then do this on Google ads. And then, you know what I mean? Like it is just trial and error, but like my biggest thing for anybody trying to break into the industry, whether as a employee or an entrepreneur, is just never stop learning. Like you couldn't pay me to go back to school. I have no need to go back into a classroom and like get my master's degree. I know some people really, that's really important to them. I have no desire, but I love to learn new things. Like you can't keep moving forward, especially in a landscape that's constantly changing, like marketing, without a desire to continue learning.
Yeah. Well, and I think picking from other spaces too, you know, it's like, oh, well, and you kind of challenged us a little bit on that here about a month ago. It's like, well, what is, you know, don't always look at your competitors. It's like, okay, what is, you know, XYZ soap company doing? Because you know, people are people, and don't make it about the product as much as about the customer, you know,
just totally.
Kind of interesting. I got to show you some cool stuff. We'll post some pictures of that too, but some cool rifles we've done recently. The Jet Lot, we did a super cool setup for Jet.
What was the one with the S's?
That's Jet's. That's his his brand. I can't remember, and he's going to kill me on this, but I can't remember if it's a lazy U or it's a lazy S, but it's a U with a sideways kind of S.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did his brand in spiral flutes. And then
I saw that on the barrel. That was so cool.
Crazy hard.
I actually. Was that a video? I think it was. Yeah, it was a reel, and you were panning it, and I literally hit pause so I could zoom in on the barrel because it was a carbon fiber barrel, right? And
yes.
I was like, I think that they fluted that pattern in there. That was so awesome.
Crazy difficult. Looks super cool.
Yeah, so I'm sure.
basically it's got
truly custom, right?
Truly like, custom, 100%. And I was so proud of myself on that reel. And this is going to sound so stupid, and people are going to make fun of me, but it's I love Cody Johnson, and he, you know, he grew up not too far from our, you know, the lake house. Mm-hmm. And him and I think it's Gary P. Nunn did a It's About to Get Western. It's kind of like the song, and it's been something that's been on my Spotify for a really long time. And so I'm literally shooting that gun at the house and get it sighted in, and it shot incredible. And I look down and I'm looking at the ammo, and I'm like, huh. And I was listening to my Spotify while I was shooting, and I look down and I'm like, wait, I'm listening to, you know, It's About to Get Western, and it is a 6.8 Western. And I'm like, oh, I have to figure out how to do this. And
well, what's really funny is when I was watching it, my sound was on, and usually when I watch, when I have Instagram up, I don't have my sound on, but it was on. And my oldest, Riley, my 14-year-old from across the room was like, what are you listening to? And I was like, this is so cool. Check this out.
That's awesome.
I keep joking with her that I'm going to become TikTok famous. And she's like, Mom, no.
See, I haven't figured that.
I don't do TikTok. That's the best part about it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't done that one yet. Now, one that was, I thought it was interesting. We were at a like a church event. We like to do some stuff at Breakaway Ministries here at A&M, and we're talking to some younger generations, you know. And
get off my lawn. Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, well, do you do B-Reel?" And I'm like, "B-Reel? What in the world?" And so we don't currently, but it's basically like Instagram Reels or stories, but it's in real time. And so, like, let's say we're on the same group or network or whatever at some random time of day. So maybe it's, you know, 4:30. You and I both get this little bing, and it's like, take a picture or a video of what you're doing right now. And so you do like exactly what you're doing now, and it posts it. And so it's like being real versus setting up. I was like, that's kind of cool. And so I've been trying to look and see if that's something that, you know, that a company could do. Cause I'm like, oh, well, that'd be kind of neat to see what the operators were doing at, you know, this time or that time. Or, you know, right now we're spread out so far all over the place, though. We've got the old Horizon building, still has some production and machinery. Mm-hmm. Thank you, City Brian. We haven't got our electricity just yet. They're telling us it's going to be a couple more weeks. And so we have a giant empty warehouse where eventually there'll be like 12 or 15 CNC machines, and it's just poor, lonesome electrical drops. But, you know, we did get, Mr. ATF got our paperwork in, and so we do have all our firearm stuff over here now.
That's good. Good. You should walk through the empty warehouse with those lone electrical drops and find some kind of audio on Instagram that's like really
like the
sad
Beatles, like
music.
One is the only loneliest number. I think we do have one CNC out there, so I may just do that next.
That might be fun.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. You'll have to come down and check our new place.
Downtown
Bryan, 103 West Peace Street. And it's kind of fun. I told you, it's like we only moved maybe 8 minutes down the road, but going from College Station to Bryan, and then, you know, Bryan's kind of an older community, so not older in terms of demographic, but it's just been here longer, you know. And so it's kind of fun. They've really welcomed us well, and looking forward to the next stage. And you know, got Stiller up and running, so that's been fun.
Well, one thing I love is that despite not technically working for you for 2.5 years, we've never stopped catching up on a regular basis.
That's true.
Like,
that's very true.
Yeah,
so been fun. Well, Kat, I very, very much appreciate it. And guys, be sure and check out CasperOutdoors.com and all our different subsidiaries. Make sure and be sure and hashtag your Venatic photos in hashtag I am Venatic. So for your chance to win that Venatic X rifle, got a lot of different caliber options to choose from too. So we'll probably do a new one coming out that we're not going to talk about yet. It's going to be awesome. you'll be one of the first to get one of those. It'll be fun. So, Kat, tell us, how can people reach you if they want to catch Wildcat Marketing?
I mean, I have a website. It's like a one-page.
What is your website?
I'm like the worst marketing person, right? So, like, I'm going to run social and websites and email newsletters for all my clients, but I guess I do have a LinkedIn page, Wildcat Marketing. And then my website is Wildcat MKTG, like marketing abbreviated. So wildcatmarketing.com.
Perfect.
And yeah, that's how you find me.
We're going to fill you with customers, but you can't take Kat's time on Tuesdays from, I've already got that booked out. But before we leave, I'm going to ask you one more question and I'll answer this as well. Okay. What does living Banatic look like to you right now?
I mean, like from a hunting perspective.
Yeah.
So like, here's
In the space, what does Banatic look like?
In the space. To me, it's just getting outside anymore, like, and just being outside.
Yeah.
I'm so busy with my kids and their sports. Like, we have 5 sports going on at any given time. Whew. Between the 3 of them. It's a lot. And so if I can sneak out looking at our, like, and so in Oregon, our hunting blacktail season is a month long. I am booked every single weekend.
Yeah.
With travel softball tournaments or a soccer tournament or football games that I'm like, when am I going to get out with my dad? Which who knows how many hunting seasons we have left, right? So yep. It's like, to me anymore, living Banatic is like making the time to be outside.
Yeah, you got to make sure he takes your kids. That's one of those memories, you know?
Yeah. That's, my son is always asking, like, when can we go? And actually, we just bought some property on the Umpqua River.
Oh, cool.
And yeah.
Nice.
So that we can live Banatic as much as possible. You can't hunt on it, but you know, we're already fishing on it as much as we can.
Oh, that's awesome. So what you're telling me is I'm gonna make a trip to Oregon before too long.
And the Steelhead Run goes right through there. So our neighbors that have lived there for like 30 years have told us. We've got a honey spot apparently.
That is very awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, for me right now, living Banatically, this is kind of interesting. My birthday's on the 6th. I don't know when this podcast will release, so whatever, October 6th. And I got a landowner tag for elk this year in New Mexico. And I'm like, I'm going to do that for my birthday. That's been something I've
done. You've always done that.
Yeah, and that's been kind of a thing. But got crazy lucky, and I drew a Montana tag this year as well. And so, So doing that with Byron K and some other customers in November on Ryder's birthday. And
oh, that's awesome.
And so I was like, oh no, I'm gonna miss his birthday on an elk hunt. And so pulled a good dad move. I called New Mexico Fish and Game and said, hey, here's the deal. I got a 9-year-old who's hunted like crazy. He's shot like 30 deer. What do I got to do to take him elk hunting? And they've changed some stuff around where as long as you have a hunter's education course, you can get a tag. And so got his hunter's education course. Like the next day, I found the closest one. We like went and did it. Got his number. just got his tags and got all that stuff transferred over. So here in about 10 days.
Yeah, his birthday's in November, right?
Yeah, but he's going to elk hunt on my birthday. I'm going to elk hunt on his birthday.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love that.
That's what it looks like for me right now. So be fun. Cool. Well, Ken, I appreciate it as always. Really, really enjoy it. And guys, thanks for tuning in to the Banatic Podcast hosted by Casper Outdoors. Till next time, catch you later. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Banatic Podcast with me, Derek Ratliff. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure while you're out in the field to hashtag IAmBanatic for your chance to win one of our Banatic rifles. And be sure and get out this week and be Banatic.